Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All Things Therapy with Lisa Tahir, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to All Things Therapy. I'm your host, Lisa Tahir. I'm a licensed clinical social worker practicing as an intuitive psychotherapist. I'm certified in EMDR as well as a Reiki Level 2 practitioner, and I would love to connect with you as my listener. Reach out to me through email, lisa@nolatherapy.com. If you want to read more about the work that I do as an intuitive psychotherapist, look it up on my website, nolatherapy.com. And that's also where you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Google Play, iHeartRadio. I really appreciate all of you who have subscribed and rated my show. It's so exciting to be speaking to a live audience, and I just love it. So thank you so much for your kindness and following the show and my work. Connect with me on social media, on Facebook at Nola Therapy, Instagram at Nola Therapy, Twitter at Tahir LCSW. And if you'd like to be a guest, reach out to me. If you know someone you'd like to hear me interview, I would love to know how to reach that person. And I want to collect your email so that I may disseminate information to you in the new year about my book that will be released. My book is about healing our core wounding through empathy and self-forgiveness, based on the astrological placement of Chiron, which is a minor planet identifying our deepest wounding. Chiron was the Greek mythological healer, and this placement helps us to know the shortest and fastest route of what we need to address in our lives and clean up those areas, make some changes, set some boundaries, release ourselves from some boundaries to live happier and more fulfilled lives. And if you would like to receive a free audiobook from Audible, since they are one of my sponsors, check that opportunity out at audibletrial.com/allthingstherapy. My guest today does so many wonderful healing practices and modalities. In moments, we're going to be with Sarah Woodard. She's a spiritual educator, a certified shamanic practitioner. She is creator and founder of Stonebridge Transformation. That's her website if you want to check it out as we're speaking, stonebridgetransformation.com. She uses meditation to access divine guidance and teaches you how to do that, as well as teaching you to work with your spirit guides in making your daily choices. And that first step is connecting with your spirit guides. We're going to talk about that today on the show, and towards the end, do a guided meditation that she'll lead us in to connect with our spirit guides. Sarah also works to help people connect with their soul purpose and their intuition. And besides addressing those topics, we're going to talk about one of her two books, Adri's Big Dream. It's a beautiful children's book having to do with becoming who we want to be through different stages, how to handle frustration, and ultimately settle into self-acceptance. So with that, I welcome you, Sarah.
Thank you so much, Lisa. I'm so happy to be here.
I am too. How are you today?
I am doing really well. I'm actually, for your listeners, I'm actually over in New Hampshire. So for us, it's a bit gray and cloudy, but surprisingly warm for this time of year. So I'm happy about that.
Absolutely. So where would you like to start our dialogue today?
Oh my goodness. Wherever you want, go for it. Pick a topic.
Well, maybe we can start with your children's book that you had sent me, because I really delighted in Adri's Big Dream is the title for our listeners. And Adri is a little rock who wants desperately to become a plant. And I wasn't sure how you were going to evolve this story. I thought, wow, that's interesting. So it was really beautiful. How did you come up with this idea? You're welcome.
So the topic really was, and I'm probably going to say this about a lot of things that you asked me, but the topic was really spirit gave it to me. I was reading a very advanced Reiki book because I'm also a Reiki master, and I was reading a really advanced Reiki book about different like phases of becoming light energy, basically. I don't know how else to put it, but and it kind of just got me thinking about transformation and moving from like one sort of phase of existence to the next, but wanting to be able to present that to children. And I just kind of put it up to spirit and I said, all right, show me how to do this. And the next thing I knew, I was writing this book about a rock that wanted to be a plant. And it didn't just come out like on paper the way it got published. I had several go arounds with it. I actually put it aside for a year before it really came together. But it was ultimately like my idea, and spirit sort of led me through what needed to be put down. Little fun tidbit, Adri or Adri or however it's actually pronounced is actually Sanskrit for rock. So that's where name came from. Yes, way.
Oh, that's so cool. How do you pronounce it correctly? Is it Adri?
I have no idea. This is what I did. I knew that I wanted to use Sanskrit, and I knew that I wanted it to mean rock. So I just hit Google and Googled around until I found it. But I've never heard it said out loud. So I don't really know which way you're supposed to say it. I've only seen it written, so I don't know. It was one of those moments. I'm like, you know, you're a writer when you have to just Google these weird things that no one else would ever look up.
To find out where you have an idea, you're reaching for it to find that, that landing place.
Exactly. Well, so
there are a couple themes in the book that really struck me as I was reading it that I think a great lesson for children and for adults to make the connection. In the story, this cute little rock, just you could feel her pain and trying to make herself something she's not, like looking at plants, wanting to be like plants.
She's desperate,
really, and feeling like she's not who she's supposed to be, which I think all of us can relate to looking
so
at.
Yeah.
I remember being younger and looking at the popular crowd and wishing they would like me and invite me to do something, or as an adult, looking at people doing things that I aspire to do and be. And we feel that longing, which can be so painful.
Right.
Like
even
somehow
jealousy,
we're not
to the point of jealousy and envy. And
sure. To take into the extreme of the spectrum where it just is a painful place to be, believing that we're not exactly where we're supposed to be, you know, believing we're not good enough. And I think in the journey of this story of the little rock, Adri, that she was able, once she got stuck in some mud, which I think it often comes to a place in our lives where it's like, oh, we've exhausted every possible avenue in our own doing this. And
we literally get that point of I give up, right? You get to that point of I give up. I don't know what else to do when I give up. And to me, that's also surrender. That's when you surrendered and you've said, okay, spirit, Jesus, whoever, take the wheel because I give up. And that's when the change happens, is when you surrender.
And I think the people and the things and the places and the experiences then start flowing towards us once we...
Right, because you stopped trying to force it.
So was that your intention in conveying in the story?
So, you know what? One thing I really love about this book is that every single person that has talked to me about it has found different meanings and different messages and different takeaways from it. And that to me is so cool. When I literally, for me, it was so much more just basic about just transformation and just that it can happen and it is possible. And if you believe in it, it can happen, but it's not always easy. And that, for me, it was literally that basic. But people have read it into such deep, deep things like you just did. And I love that. I had someone else who said to me that it would be really huge for like the LGBTQ community, which totally makes sense now that somebody said it to me. But none of that was ever intended. It was just, I need to write a book for kids about transformation. That was all it was for me.
Okay. And what about for the LGBT community? Did someone point out for you?
that it would just be really helpful for them too, because part of like you said, part of what Audrey or Adri goes through is self-acceptance and being okay with being who she is, and eventually realizing that it's okay to just be who she is. And, you know, now I'm not suggesting that the LGBTQ people are going to change. I don't, nor should they. But once they get to that self-acceptance, they will feel different. They'll feel like they've gone from stuck in the mud to they can grow and change, because they're no longer beating themselves up for who they are.
Exactly. Or feeling shamed by their themselves.
By just,
yes.
Yeah. Because society is silly. And yeah.
And I think, too, in the book, a lesson in patience, and little Adri was just so ready to be a plant. And I connected with, I'm so ready for some things to manifest and have been at other times in my life. And then it's realizing there might not be those cooperative components fully developed yet to meet me in this space of readiness. And just to try to remember to enjoy the process of becoming, of having... Yes, just to really like, oh, okay, it's coming. Like, it's certain, it's coming, it's all coming. So what can I do in this interim period?
Yeah, and the patience thing is so key. Like, I know I'm very type A, and so I still struggle with patience. And I'm a Scorpio with three planets in Scorpio, so patience is not, like, top of my playbook of things.
Yeah.
You know, but I really work hard at going, okay, like, as much as I am ready, the universe isn't ready, and I need to just surrender and allow it to happen when it's supposed to happen and trust that it's going to be okay. But it's not always easy.
Right. And I like to encourage my clients, as you might, to take note in your life when there's something you thought was just the best for you, and that might have not turned out yet. What comes next or a little bit after is like, oh my gosh, I couldn't even have thought of this if I tried. And it just feels so much more satisfying. So to try to remember those other moments in our lives where things evolved into something even beyond what we might have ever come up with. And
yeah,
it was
that is really
more
true.
Satisfying.
That is really true. And the other thing that I do with my clients when they're at that point, because a lot of times it's accompanied with sort of like a frantic energy, to it is I walk them through a grounding meditation to help them just kind of get rerooted to the earth and just rebalanced and kind of more at peace with it. Because, you know, if your energy is frantic, like, there's only so much logic can help you. So I always try to also bring them back to a grounded, centered place of being able to process things.
So you offer a lot of services. You provide on your website meditations that are for sale. You conduct online classes that consist of one, connecting to your spirit guides, intuitive oracle card readings, and teaching people to meditate. You're a blogger. You have a podcast, The Healing Corner.
I do.
Yep. Yes, you have ebooks, and then this book, Adri's Big Dream, and another children's book with a cute little bee, a bumblebee as the character.
Yes.
Can you talk to us about some of the services and what it's like? How do people usually approach you? And how do you help them select what might be the best services to utilize?
So, I mean, how I help them select is I literally just try to find out where they're at. Like 99% of the work that I do is about helping people connect with their spirit guides, even with the meditation and the oracle card stuff. Like, so oracle cards, I feel like you can't intuitively read if you're not in touch with your guides, because they're the ones that are giving you the information. Meditation is sort of the beginning of connecting with your spirit guides. The way that I teach it, whether it's through my online class or through one-on-one with me or through my group program, is about opening up your five senses, because those are the pathways that they communicate with us. And so, but you have to be able to meditate in order to open those up, because you open them up through meditation first, and then you're able to sort of bring that openness into your daily life. But you have to start with the meditation, because your whole body is just more relaxed. Your energy centers are more open. It's just a lot simpler to do it in meditation first. It sort of depends. Like, a lot of times what happens is somebody will come across my website. I don't know. Spirit led them there. I don't know how they find it. And I never ask, because I just want spirit to do its thing.
Okay.
But they'll find it. And a lot of times I'll get like a message on Facebook or an email or whatever. And they'll tell me where they're at and, you know, and say, I don't know what to do. I'm really lost. And if they have experience with meditation, well, great. Let's get you set up to do an introduction to your spirit guide. That's usually like a 20-minute call where I basically go on a shamanic journey and bring back whichever spirit guide is supposed to work with them right now.
Okay.
And we talk about that a little bit. And again, that's a different for everybody, and the process is a little different for everybody. And then from there, they can pick to either do my 12-week individual program or my 12-week group program, or they can just do the online videos if that's what's, you know, appropriate for them. That's why I have all three ways, is because everybody learns a little differently.
Yes.
But the consistent theme in all of them is that it's, once you've learned to meditate, you can open up those pathways. If they've never meditated before, I'm going to say, all right, well, let's start you on a meditation practice first. And then when you get good at that, we'll revisit the spirit guide thing. Most people don't come to me just to say, I want to learn how to read oracle cards. That sort of comes about as like a side piece where, you know, as we're maybe walking through, we've connected with their spirit guides. Now I'm working with them somehow, whether it's video or my 12-week programs or whatever, and it comes up somehow, that's where that usually comes in. It'll come up if I've done an oracle card reading for them and they'll be like, I want to learn how to do this too. Sometimes it comes up that way, but it's not usually like they come to me saying, I just want to know this.
I'm curious to ask you, Sarah, is how do you handle when people reach out to you and then the place to start is with meditation? And if someone has concern around, I can't focus, I get distracted, I can't sit there, how do you help them with that? Because I'm sure that might come up often.
And it has come up. There's a lot of fear for people around it for some reason. They get really like freaked out. Well, but I can't sit still for that long and this and that. And so the first thing is usually sometimes I'll even just hop on a quick video call with them. And remind them that first of all, like, it's a practice. Nobody is perfect at it ever. Even those of us that have been doing it for years, like, we're not perfect at it. I have days when I can't shut up my brain either. It's okay.
Yeah.
But then we also talk about, you know, what their specific concerns are. And a lot of times it's about, you know, not wanting to sit still, or they're worried they can't turn off their brain. And so I always say, first of all, start at a minute. You don't have to start meditating for 20 minutes at a stretch. Start at a minute. Start at a minute and build up. And then the other thing is you're not actually turning off your brain. As you get good at meditating, your brain will turn off on its own. What you're doing really is just noticing your thoughts and watching them go and land in a pile beside you. So it's like when the wind is blowing leaves, you just watch them go by and they land somewhere else. And that's all your thoughts are. They're just blowing by and they land somewhere else, and you can come back to them. And by the time you have built up to meditating for 3, 5, 6, 8 minutes, you're no longer feeling like you're fighting your thoughts, because you're just watching them float by. And eventually your brain gets really good at that and you don't have to work at it.
And I'm imagining too, the meditations are all guided, correct? With words. So the person's mind is being directed in these gentle ways.
It depends on how they decide to interact with it. If, if they take my online class, there's not really any guided meditations within that. Well, there's maybe one or two within that class. That is more just about very basics of setting up the space and creating and how you commit to it and things like that. I think towards the end, there's a guided meditation or two. I don't remember, which I know is terrible, but I put that one together a while ago, so I forget exactly everything I put into it.
Yeah.
But if they work with me, then yes, we can definitely do some guided meditations. There's also guided meditations available for download on my site, and they're like $10 a pop. So it's no big deal to just go and grab one if you need help. And there's also free guided meditations all over the place.
Yes, on YouTube, and there's some wonderful ones.
On YouTube, there's some wonderful ones. I have an app that I like to use called Insight Timer, which is amazing.
I've heard about that, yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple on there that I really like. Because I have a very overactive brain, I oftentimes have trouble falling asleep. And there's one on there that's like an hour-long guided meditation that eases you into sleep. And my goodness, the nights I do that as I'm laying in bed, and it just literally makes me fall off to sleep. And I wake up the next morning feeling so refreshed. So there's a lot of options for people that want guided meditations, because there's no way that I could ever record enough to please every possible style and all of that. So yeah, there's thankfully many other people that have recorded meditations too.
So what are oracle cards and what are those readings about?
Okay.
Since that is something that you provide.
Yeah. So oracle cards, if you've heard of tarot, they're a little bit similar in that they are a deck of cards that provide information. What's different is the information that they provide. Tarot, most people associate with sort of predicting the future, or at least one version of the future. Oracle cards is much more about providing you guidance and comfort for wherever you're at right now.
Okay.
And it can even be about a specific topic.
Okay.
I will sometimes do even just a reading for myself. Like I did one the other day. I volunteered to do something that I'm having a really hard time getting organized, and I'm considering now unvolunteering for. Because it's just not coming together and it's really stressing me out. And so I went to my card deck and I'm like, what do I do? And I got back a message. I used two different decks that I own, because I own several, and both the messages that came back were really confusing to me, which is rare. Like usually I'm like, all right, I know what I have to do. But in this case, I felt like it was really confusing. So I went to a friend of mine and she got the same sort of confusing messages, and it took the two of us to sit down and go, okay, these cards mean this, and these cards mean this, and they seem opposite. So what is it really trying to mean? Before we kind of came up with, okay, what it means is where you're looking right now maybe isn't right, but you shouldn't back away entirely. Whew. But it took three readings to figure that out. Normally, it's not like that. Normally, like, I can go to my card deck and go, okay, I need some guidance around this particular subject, and what should I do? And I put out, I lay out like my six or eight cards, whatever sort of spirit leads me to pull. And I can look at them and go, oh, I know what I have to do. Normally it's that simple. This one was just challenging.
Well, and I think spirit sometimes likes to see our commitment to our own path and to our own desires. And so it sounds like more efforting than usual, but you got it. So it came. And I've been experience the same. I think spirit likes to see our dedication and our commitment to what's important to us. And then the cooperative components, as I mentioned earlier, start to show up to back us.
Oh yeah, totally. It's very much a collaboration. Like people are all about, oh, well, the secret, you can just manifest things. Just make a wish to the universe and you'll have it. No, like the secret is the beginning, but it's a collaboration. You have to make the wish, put it out as the intention, be very set, like, I want this. But then you have to actually take the action. You have to walk the path and walk towards the intention that you've set for yourself. Do it with spirit's guidance, but do it. You have to do the work. So it's very much a team effort, as I say.
Yes. So can you tell us about your podcast as well and your blog?
Yeah. Yeah, sure. So the podcast, again, this was very much a spirit of hey, who was trained in the same lineage of shamanism that I was trained in. And we had such a good time. And, we recorded it on a Sunday, and I got off, off the call with him, and I was sitting on my couch and I was just knitting and relaxed. And, when you're relaxed and sort of like not stuck in your head, spirit can get in really easily, right? And so spirit got in my head and was like, you should host a podcast. And I could feel that no resistance come back up. But I was like, hold on, like, this isn't coming from you. Go away, resistance. Like, give me a second. And spirit was like, it's called the Healing Corner. And you're going to talk to people about what it's like to be a healer, and also talk to people about experiences they've had with healers and with healing. And I'm like, oh, all right. Okay, so how do I do this from a technical perspective? And I literally, in 24 hours, figured it all out and had a podcast. I was like, well,
that's
that was
amazing.
A whirlwind. Like, yeah, it was crazy.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
How long have you been on the air? When did you start your podcast?
I think the first one went on October or November, I think, was when the first one went on. Yeah. Yeah,
oh,
not that long.
Congratulations.
Thank
I
you.
Love podcasting. Yeah, I think it's
you
such
should
a
come
satisfying
on mine. You
way.
Should come on mine, Lisa.
I'd love to come on yours, Sarah.
Cool.
I love
I'll
it.
Send you. I will
Thank
say,
you.
After we're done, I will send you a link and some
Wonderful.
Stuff. And yeah, cool.
I think it's such a satisfying way to meet new people like you and then connect with listeners, and I'll get emails from people, and it's just so amazing. It's
so much fun
to connect. Yeah,
it is. It's so much fun, and it is such a beautiful way. And I don't know about you, but for me, I feel like nearly every guest that I have interviewed, because I have a backlog of episodes, like they don't go live the minute I record them.
Okay.
But I feel like every guest that I have had on my show, there's like, they provide some sort of healing gift to me.
Yes, it's amazing.
Right? And there was this one episode, the woman's name is Sharna J, for people who want to check it out. I think she was the third, episode three, I think. She literally, I don't even remember what she said exactly or how she put it exactly, but we were talking about things that needed to be cleared from our past or whatever. And something she said to me literally cleared out something that had been lingering in me for a long time, to the point where I don't even remember what it was. That's how gone it is.
That's powerful.
Like, it was amazing. It was amazing. So yeah, the podcasting thing is just so beautiful.
So I was saving your how you help people connect with spirit guides to last, because I wanted to take our commercial break, and you're going to lead us in a meditation at some point and talk to us. I know you said that's what you've been doing the most of lately. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
Of the work with people to connect with their spirit guides?
Yeah.
Then we'll take our quick break, and we're going to come back and hear all about that from you.
All right, cool.
Awesome.
Indeed, listening is the new reading. With Audible, you can listen to an unlimited amount of books at home, in your car, at the gym, anywhere on the go. With over 180,000 audiobooks to choose from, for you, the listener of All Things Therapy, Audible is offering you a free audiobook download and a month-long subscription for you to try them out. Visit audibletrial.com/allthingstherapy now. And enjoy.
Do you want to help yourself and friends find a purpose in life?
Then you are in the right place, and be a part of the crowdfunding campaign of patreon.com/allthingstherapy
with Lisa Tahir, as she initiates a one-on interaction with inspiring authors, healing experts, and spiritual directors. Join the League of Heroes of this generation by contributing your quota between $1 up to $100 per month
at patreon.com/allthingstherapy.
Let's make the world free of suicide, poverty, depression, and in all, make the world a better place for everyone.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Lisa Tahir. I am with Sarah Woodard of Stonebridge Transformation. She is a spiritual educator and a certified shamanic practitioner. Sarah, talk to us about the work that you do, helping people to connect with their spirit guides. What does this mean?
So this is like my most favorite thing to do, really, in all of life. It is like my most favorite thing to do. So it starts off with a phone call, a video phone call, I should say, that is usually about 20 minutes. And during that call, I actually go on a shamanic journey, and I've bring back whichever spirit guide is most wanting to work with the person at that point in their journey. Now, the reason that I say that is because we all have many, many spirit guides around us at all times, but the ones that we meet and work with depend on what power we need brought back to us, because that's the primary thing that spirit guides do, is return some sort of personal power that we gave up, whether it's like confidence or play or whatever. There's some empowerment thing in our life that we need back. And so whichever spirit guide I bring back, I always ask, you know, what power they're bringing back and if there's any other messages. And I will share that with this person on the phone during that initial phone call. Some people are kind of good at that point, and they want to just kind of go off and see how they do.
Okay.
Most people, I would say like 99.5% of the time, people come back to me and go, yeah, so that's really cool, but I feel like I just ask questions to my spirit guide all the time and I get no answers.
Mm.
And I get why you feel that way. People say that about prayer too. They're like, yeah, I pray all the time and I just get nothing. And I used to feel that way too. But what I've come to understand, especially through my shamanic training, is it's because we're not listening right. When you feel like you're not getting the answers, it's not because they're not answering. It's because you don't know how to listen yet.
Mm.
And so the way that I teach it is that each of our five senses is a pathway for spirit guides to communicate. And so what I do throughout any, however people decide to work with me, whether it's one-on-one or a group or via the video class, what I do in all of those is teach how to open those five senses. And then I also teach how to incorporate, how to interpret, rather, the messages, because they don't, unfortunately, sit down right next to you on the couch and go, okay, so Lisa, the answer to your question is you're going to do step one, step two, and step three, and then everything's going to be fine. That would be lovely, but they just, yeah. they just don't do that, right? They send little metaphors and signs and symbols that you have to interpret. And so that I also teach that. And then the other thing that I teach in each of those is how to ground, because first of all, when you start to connect with your spirit guides, you do raise your energy, but your energy can get too high and you become so disconnected from the earth that you get like spacey, and that's not good either. So you have to have a balance of high energy, but grounded. And also because especially at the beginning, and especially for people I tend to work with, and I'm sure I attract these people because I'm the same way, we tend to be a bit impatient, intense, whatever. And so because of that, there's sort of a frantic energy about it. So grounding also helps to get you back and rooted to be able to open those pathways and truly just be centered and calm about it, and knowing and trusting that the messages will come through without going, but when, because it will happen.
Yes.
And a lot of times, people come to me for this work because they're feeling like they don't know their purpose, or they're struggling with, you know, big questions like, you know, the meaning of life type of big questions, and, you know, why am I here and what am I supposed to do? And, big life things like that. And so although they may not have the answer like immediately, they definitely won't have the answer immediately upon meeting their spirit guide, because we still have to do all that work to open their pathways and learn the messages and all of that.
Okay.
So what typically happens is that you meet their spirit guide and instantly I can see them start to change, and there's just subtle changes in their face and in their demeanor. And then like one or two or 3 weeks in, they're like, okay, like I've opened a couple pathways and it's not happening. And what's going on, Sarah? And we have to calm down and take a step back and do a little grounding. And then we keep working it. And by the time the 12 weeks are up, they've arrived at, okay, so I may not know the exact answer to my purpose yet, but I know that I'm on the right track. And I know that if I just continue to implement everything that you just taught me as far as communicating with my guides and interpreting the messages and staying grounded, I'm going to get to my purpose. And the difference in them is so, it's just so cool. It's just so cool.
It sounds exciting.
It is very exciting. I honestly can't think of a thing that I have more fun doing. It's very cool.
So are spirit guides, typically do they have to be an animal, for instance? Can it be an ascended master? Could it be an angel, a deceased loved one, God or goddess?
That's a good question. It's typically going to be an animal. It will never, ever, 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 ever be a deceased relative. And I'll tell you why. As much as they may have our best intent, as much as they may have loved us in life and still love us from the other side, they still were human beings, and therefore they still have an ego, and therefore they don't always have our best and highest good in mind. I had somebody work with me once who thought that some deceased relative was coming through to give her information to be her guide. But kept offering her coffee. This person didn't drink coffee. And I said, so it's not your guide. This is why it's never a person, because as much as she meant well with the coffee, it's like when you go visit your grandma and she's like, okay, blah, 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 like have something to eat. And you're like, but grandma, I'm not hungry, but she wants you to eat because that's how she's sharing love with you. That's
love.
But it's not necessarily what you want. Right. And so the difference is our spirit guides are never they love us in unconditionally, but they're never going to try to get you to do something that's not for your best and highest good. Maybe you don't drink coffee because it makes your heart race, not for your best and highest good. So it's not to say your guides aren't going to put you in situations that are challenging. They definitely will. That's how you reclaim your power, but it's for your best and highest good. And that's the difference. So it's never going to be a deceased relative. It's usually an animal. It can be a spirit, like an angel or a mythological creature, like a dragon or a fairy. But in shamanism, we think of those things as teachers as opposed to guides. So it's a little bit different.
Okay. And that's what I wanted to ask you to share with me and our listeners, that additionally, shamanic practice is rooted in tribal communities. Is that accurate?
Correct. Yes.
And yep. there's a name for it, say, in the U.S., it would be the Native American Indians?
Correct. Correct.
And then in Canada?
In Canada, I think they call them First Nation cultures in Canada.
Okay.
In Australia, I believe they call them Aboriginal. But, of course, these are all English words. They all call themselves something different anyways.
Okay.
but the tradition of shamanism is a little bit different from tribe to tribe as well, which makes sense because they all have slightly different beliefs. But with the school that I learned through, which is called the Shaman College, it's an online school that actually pairs you up with a human teacher one-to-one.
Yes.
And it's a great, great program. And it's through the Michael Harner lineage for people that means anything to.
So what
they did is they put together a program that they call it core shamanism. And what they did was they studied with many, 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 many tribes across the globe. And they looked and they said, okay, so they put it basically like a big, huge Venn diagram. And they said, okay, all these things exist in all shamanic cultures. So these are the things that they have to be taught. And what those wound up being were the what's, basically. They all have spirit guides. They all have initiations. They all have journeying. They all have, you know, and so those things wound up in the center. What was different about from tribe to tribe was how they accessed those different what's. So some cultures will use like peyote or ayahuasca to journey. Some cultures, you know, use violins or not violins, flutes or whatever. Like,
mm-hmm.
So the hows were different, but the what's were the same. And so what they did was they said, okay, we're trying to teach this to quote unquote Western culture. So what are the hows that are the most accessible to the Western mind? And that's what they teach, is that they teach you how to access the shamanic what's, the shamanic traditions through in ways that are still traditional, but aren't necessarily indigenous to any one tribe. They sort of just picked the ones that were most accessible to our brains.
Yeah.
I
like that.
So it's really cool.
It makes sense to me that tribal people are really connected, as I appreciate it, to the land, to nature.
Yeah.
And so it makes sense that spirit guides would be from those realms,
totally.
Since that's who the people are so close to. Should we do?
Yeah,
do you want to lead us in a meditation?
Sure. Sure. We can do that. I mean, I could talk about my shamanic journey all day. So yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
So this can be done seated or standing. I would prefer you not lay down, but if you would rather lay down, that's okay. But what really matters is that you have your feet touching the floor and that you close your eyes. And we'll start with a deep breath in. Hold it at the top and then breathe out. One more time in. And out. And again, in. And out. Now, I want you to just continue breathing at whatever pace feels good for you. And then as you're breathing, think about which sense is the strongest for you. For most people, it's hearing or sight, but it does not have to be. And go with your gut. Don't second guess yourself. Whichever one first came into your brain, go with that. And we're going to focus on that sense. Just continue to normal. And about all the different things that you can see, even without opening your eyes, think about all the things you can see sort of behind your eyelids. And if you're thinking about hearing, think about all the things that you hear, not just around you, but inside you. Do you hear your heart beating? Do you hear your breath? And then continue to breathe in and out at whatever pace is good for you. And as you focus on that sense that you picked, I want you to just put out the intention as strong as you can. Say, spirit guide, you don't have to know who your spirit guide is right now. Just say, spirit guide, send me a message. Send me a message through whatever sense it is that you picked. And put that out there as strong as you can. And don't worry if you don't see anything right away. This is a part of a process where you are opening up that pathway, and it may take some time. And continue to breathe and ask for that message. And if you feel like you're ready, just say thank you, because even if you did not get a message, they were still sending you one. So say thank you, and then you can open your eyes anytime you're ready.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you. How is it for you leading the meditations? What is your experience being on that end?
It's a little bit different every time. Sometimes I do it right along with people. Sometimes I just lead it through. But for me, however I interact with it, what it's really about is holding that space and providing a safe place for people to do whatever the work is in the meditation.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you for this live impromptu experience. We just planned for our listeners. We just decided to do this moments before coming live. Thank you, Sarah, for being so flexible.
You're so welcome. Hey, like I said, you could have just thrown it at me on the air and that would have been fine too. So,
you know, in our last few minutes, what would you like to leave listeners with, and where are you headed towards next in your own life and such?
Geez. Well, I've got writing-wise, I've got several books at various stages. I've got one that's for adults about mindfulness. I've got two other kids' books in process at various stages, which if any of you knows a great illustrator, please let me know.
Okay.
Just throwing that out there, because you never know. As far as the other aspects of my business, I'm really excited to just help more people on this process of connecting with their guides and taking back their personal power. It's just really... it's really great. Personally, I'm still working on patience and I'm still working on surrendering, but I think I'll be working on those forever. So,
you know, and I really like, Sarah, when you mentioned earlier and going through your material, I hadn't quite connected so clearly is what you state, that our spirit guides give us back something we might have lost connection to or with. And for me as a woman, it's centered around confidence and empowerment. And you mentioned that earlier, and I just want to thank you for that. And I think it's helpful to know that there's also aid in the unseen helping us to really reclaim our power and our confidence and our inner knowing and kind of filling the room with our presence instead of shrinking away to truly take up our space in the world energetically.
Exactly. And I mean, no offense to you whatsoever, because I've seen my fair share of therapists and they've certainly helped me. But I also think it gets to a point where you can't do the work for them and I can't do the work for them, but spirit guides can't do the work for them. But having that power return to them means that the work that they're doing now has more like foundation to it in some way. So, yeah.
And deeper roots. I think it can be like a great roots.
Yeah. And I think it can be like almost like a great, like complimentary thing. Like see me and work with me on connecting with your spirit guides, but also see Lisa or someone like her to work through whatever else comes up as part of that. I think they can really work well together.
I think we all provide complementary components in this whole paradigm.
Exactly.
So how can listeners reach out to you? What is the best way for them to reach out? They're listening and want to know more, schedule a session.
So obviously my website is a great place to start. From there, there's a contact form. I also have like a quick, like message me on Facebook, little window thing that comes up down in the corner. And also on my website, you'll see all my social media links, and any of those are also perfectly good ways to get in touch with me.
Wonderful. So that would be at stonebridgetransformation.com.
Correct.
Thank you, Sarah. It was just delightful to have you on before the Christmas holiday and just this holiday season. It felt like a good show to do, to remind people to stay connected to their inner knowing and spirituality during such a busy time. So I appreciate you taking the stage. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. This was a blast.
You're welcome. And we'll be in touch.
Okay. Thanks, Lisa.
Okay. You're welcome. Bye, Sarah.
Bye.
That concludes my show today with Sarah Woodard of Stonebridge Transformation. I wish every one of you listening a very happy holiday season, a Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, whatever tradition it is that you might celebrate or not, that my well wishes and love are with you. And if you were inclined to support my work, I would love that through the crowdfunding campaign I have with Patreon. patreon.com/allthingstherapy. And a reminder to please join my email list. I'd love to be able to disseminate information to you as I am creating it to help you with your healing and inner guidance and just living a more fulfilled life. Go to nolatherapy.com. Thank you, and join me next week for another episode. Bye-bye.
You're listening to All Things Therapy with Lisa Tahir.